run out of things to thank God for. Praise the Lord. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. On Monday night, we saw the model or exemplary believer. On Tuesday night, we saw the positive side of the model or exemplary ministry. Last night, the negative side of the model or exemplary ministry. And tonight, we'll make our way into chapter number 3 and look at the model or exemplary fellowship. I don't want to just go to a church. I want to be part of a church. Right. And I don't want to just sit in a pew. I want to get to know the people sitting in the other pews. And I don't want to just bring my burdens there and cast them on the Lord. I want to help bear other people's burdens. I want to be a part of the thing. I want to get in it and get all that I can out of it. But let's read this chapter together. And we got about 6 or 7 points we want to make this evening. And then we'll get you out of here about 9:30, 10 o'clock, something like that. Verse number 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, you see the Trinity there? You got the Father, you got the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God, that'd be the Holy Spirit. So you got God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Father, please bless your word in our hearts tonight. Help me, Lord, to tell the truth of these matters and to tell them in the right way. And I pray, Father, that every one of us would have ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches, and that you would bless us for having paid such good attention to your word tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. The apostle, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, I was so afraid that the things you've gone through were going to cause you to stop trusting God. I was so afraid that the things that have happened to you and the things you've heard happen to me were going to cause your faith to fail, that I had to send Timothy to find out if you dropped out. I had to send Timothy to find out if you were still going on. I was genuinely concerned about that. Now, what seems so odd about that is in chapter 1, the Holy Spirit said, these Christians in Thessalonica were an example of what a Christian is supposed to be. In chapter 2, the Holy Spirit said, these Christians were doing things in such a way that God could use them to be an example to all other churches everywhere. You wouldn't think people like that would quit. You wouldn't think people like that would drop out. You wouldn't think a church like that would be in danger of going back world or turning away from the Lord. And yet it was a genuine concern. And I'll tell you why. Our church has a prayer list. I suppose your church has a prayer list. On that prayer list are people who are in the middle of family situations. Not a one of them ever expected what has happened to their family would happen to their family. In fact, some of them were so sure that because we got saved, and because I'm saved, and my wife is saved, and we raised our children up for Jesus, we have some sort of protection from trouble, and then here comes the trouble. Our prayer list for sick people would terrify anyone. And if you could go back 5 years and say to the people that are on that list with cancer and stroke and leukemia and broken this and broken that, none of them would have believed that a God they're serving and a Jesus Christ to whom they are so devoted would ever let them be on that prayer list for that need. And it sounds so harsh to say this that I'm glad I didn't say it. I'm glad it's in the Bible so you can take it up with the Lord. You know what he said? I told you this was going to happen, but you didn't believe me. I told you this was coming, but you didn't think it was. You know my trouble, your trouble, our trouble as a church. We can read this New Testament and read about people rising up in our churches, trying to turn people away from sound doctrine. And when it happens, we say, that can't be. That's not supposed to happen. The Lord said it is supposed to happen. When we have people that have been faithful and true and dedicated for years and years and sometimes decades who just decide to just flip out and dive into sin or run back out in the world or go to some heretical false teaching church, we say, I can't believe they did that. What we're saying is, I can't believe the Bible really came to pass. Can we agree tonight, those of us that are still in a measure of good health, can we agree tonight that that is not going to continue? I mean, if the rapture doesn't happen, it'll be the eyes or the ears or the feet or the arteries or the mind. Come on. We act like God gave us 150 years guaranteed good health, and how did this happen to me? Now here's our need, and it's in this third chapter. We need to be in fellowship with ministers that love us and brothers and sisters in Christ who love us and people with whom we have established such good relationships that they can speak to us honestly about our doubts and our fears and our uncertainty and our straying, because it's going to happen to all of us. But if we don't have people around us when it does, who we trust enough and love enough to let them say to us, that's no excuse, that's no reason to quit, that doesn't justify you turning against God. We need those people in our lives. Not for the sunshiny days, but for the stormy days that the Bible says are sure to come, but that we thought would never come. I tell you, if you got up today and you knew who you were and where you were, and you could breathe without a machine, and you could put your feet on the floor and walk across the room without help, and you go and fix your own breakfast and eat it and digest it and get up and go to work, you ought to thank God for that. Because there's many people who could not do that this week that could do that last week, and they are saved and they love Jesus. Great churches have splits. Great pastors lose trusted families. Great Sunday schools diminish over time. It's just when it happens to us, we go to the Lord in this bewildered confusion because we just weren't prepared for what God said was going to come. And when that happens, we want to drop out of church. We want to stay away. We want to not answer the phone. We want to not come to the fellowship suppers because we just want to be alone with our unhappiness. And the Apostle Paul said, Timothy, you got to get over there quick. You got to go make sure those people are still in church after that happened. You got to make sure they're still following the Lord after what He let them go through. Those of you that knock on doors, and I hope more of you will next month than this past month and more the month after that. But you know how many people you're going to meet in the course of a year that will say, I used to go to church? And when you say, well, why don't you go to church anymore? You won't meet one in a year that says, well, I just decided Jesus wasn't God. I just decided the resurrection was a myth. I just decided, you know what they'll say? I got hurt. And I didn't think I would get hurt. Why didn't you think you'd get hurt when everybody in the Bible got hurt? Well, I got offended and I didn't know anybody in church would offend me. Why do you think the whole New Testament is full of verses about forbearing one another and forgiving one another and if any man have a quarrel against any? You know what our problem is? We read that book, we're not paying any attention to it when we read it. Because when prophecies are fulfilled, like the outer man perishes day by day, that's a prophecy. People say, I want to hear some prophetic preaching from the Bible. What you mean is you want my guess on who the Antichrist is or my guess on the date of the rapture. Here's some prophecy for you. Somebody's going to offend you. Here's some prophecy for you. Some church people that you love are going to disappoint you. Here's some prophecy for you. A family's going to quit before the end of the year. That's in the Bible. But when it happens, we're so unprepared for it because when we read the Bible, we're just looking for those precious promises to hang on the wall. Well, these are precious promises. Now, watch, I'll show you what I mean. Verse number 3, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now, here's why I need to stay in fellowship when I lose my job. Here's why I need to stay in fellowship when my wife gets a serious illness. Here's why I need to stay in fellowship when one of my children starts leaning the devil's way. Because I need 10 of you from this side and 10 of you from this side and 10 of you from out here to come and say, brother, I've been right there. And let me tell you how God got me through it. Brother, we've dealt with that. And let me tell you how the Lord gave us the victory. I don't need to lock myself away. I don't need to cut myself off from fellowship. I need the help that you can give me. And when you tell me how the Lord bore your burdens and how the Lord got you through your trials and how the Lord dried your tears and how the Lord helped you to not sell out Jesus Christ because some of your relatives or your friends did. You know what I do most of the day? I take phone calls from pastors who say, have you ever heard of this one? Have you ever dealt with this one? Has somebody in your church ever done this? And you know something? Almost every time I have to say, yes, yes, that has happened to us twice. That has happened to us 3 times. That happened to us once. Very rarely do I say, you got to be kidding. I've never heard that one. Maybe once every 5 years. You know what? I do not have a solution for those men when they call. But I'll tell you what I have. I have an ear and I have a heart and I have a remembrance. And I can say, brother, here's where the scripture said this was going to happen. And here's how we dealt with it. And here's how it blew up in our face when we did. And the next time we dealt with it this way and it blew up in our face again. And then we went back to the scripture and the Bible says, you know, a man that's an heretic after the first and second admonition reject, meaning some guys you try twice and it doesn't work. Well, you know, I get these family members, and you know what Jesus had to say to some people? You're going to follow me? You're going to have to let some dead bury some dead. Because everybody doesn't want to live. Now, these are cold, hard truths that nobody wants to hear. But when I think there's probably three or four of you here tonight that our church has prayed for you in the last year when your loved ones have gone to be with the Lord. I can't help you with that the way those who have been through it can help you with that. But thank God those who have been through it can help you with that. I have no idea how a man goes on for Jesus when his wife is unfaithful to him. I have no idea how a woman goes on for Jesus when her husband's been unfaithful to her. But I'll tell you, there's people in your church that know exactly how you can go on because they have. And they know exactly how the Lord can help you with that because He's helped them. You understand, we want to come to church and sing the songs. That's a blessing. We want to come to church and hear the sermons. That's a blessing. We want to come to church and say the prayers. That's a blessing. But a lot of times we come to church because I'm just hurting. I'm just sad. I'm just disappointed. I'm just discouraged. And I need somebody to just care. And Timothy, I don't know how far he came in miles. I don't know how long that took in hours. But he didn't get on a jet plane. And he didn't ride in an air-conditioned car. And he traveled all that way. And he walked into that little church and he said, Paul just wants to know if you're okay. Isn't that a blessing? Now, you don't think it's that big a deal because you've never been in a place, maybe, where you didn't wonder if anybody cares. But I'll tell you, you ever get in a place where you wonder if anybody cares and you walk through that door and 15 people throw their arms around your neck and tears rolling down their face and said, I don't know what to do, brother. I just want you to know I care. I don't know how to help you, sister. I just want you to know God got me through it. We don't need to be in church because it's a commandment, and we don't need to be in church because we're always going to learn something new. We need to be in church because life is too difficult to manage by yourself. And if yours isn't tough today, well, this is your day to help somebody else. And tomorrow it'll be too tough for you, and it'll be somebody's turn to help you. Praise the Lord. Now look in verse number 5. He says, for this cause, because of verse 3, afflictions move people. Because of verse 4, people suffer when they have tribulation. Verse number 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. Only God knows how many people have been taken out of good churches because of trouble in their life. Only God knows how many people the devil's overthrown because affliction or tribulation came in their life. But I'm telling you right now, you can sit here this evening and you can have complete and total victory over alcohol. You never give it a thought. I'm telling the truth. I mean this. You could put every kind of liquor that's ever been invented on a table in front of me and say, it's all free, help yourself. I don't want a drop of it. I have no desire for it. You could give me Filter Kings. You could give me unfiltered. You could give me Turkish brand. You could give me good old Lucky Strikes. You put every kind of cigarette there is in the world on that table. I have no desire to smoke a cigarette. I don't want one. We preach out for the nightclubs. I see what's going in. I see what's coming out. I see what they look like going in. I see what they look like coming out. I have no interest in going to that place for 5 minutes. But I'll tell you what does interest me an awful lot. Just giving up. Just quitting. You know what he said? The devil is going to come and tempt you when you're afflicted. The devil's going to come and tempt you when you're going through tribulation. The devil's going to come and tempt you when you're having trials and troubles. And he didn't say, Timothy, go see if they started drinking. He didn't say, Timothy, go see if they started smoking. Timothy, go see if they're in the dance club. He said, Timothy, go make sure they're still there. You know what your temptation is, brother? Listen, you've served God so long. You've been against that world for so long. Your temptation is not to go back to doing the junk you used to do. Your temptation is just to stop doing this. Because the devil's going to say, look, you've served God 30 years and look where it got you. All those years you gave to God and served God and now you're broke. All those years you went out there driving that bus route and teaching that Sunday school class, and now you got cancer? Now your arteries are bad? Why? How could God do that to you? You don't want to drink. You don't want to smoke. You don't want to commit adultery. You don't want to rob a bank. You just don't feel like going to church. You just don't feel like reading your Bible. You know what you need to do? Go to church and read your Bible. And say prayers you don't even mean. And sing songs you don't even have your heart on them. And sit through a sermon and fade in and fade out and fade in and fade out. You just need to be there. Because you're not going to get anything out of the service, but you're going to get something out of the fellowship. People are going to see that you're sad and see that you're lonely and see that you're troubled. And they're going to, if you're in the right kind of church, and that's what we want this to be, they're just going to come get beside you. They're going to ask you out to lunch or they're going to call you on the phone. And the Holy Spirit's going to say, see, Lord loves you. Lord's people love you. He's been through that. She's been through that. They're okay. Well, I watch these women in our church. We got so many babies. Praise God. It's a blessing. I think we got 20, our nursery goes up to age 2. I think we got, if they're all in there, 24, 25 babies in there. Whew. Thank God I'm preaching, not working nursery. We got a scripture verse on the wall in our nursery. It says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. That's right out of the Bible. Anyway, and I see these mothers, they come in, they're pregnant, and they want to touch that baby. They can't touch it yet. They want to touch that baby. And that little baby's born, and they're holding it, and they're singing those gospel songs, and they're reading that Bible to those babies, and they're praying over that child. And they bring them to Sunday school, and they bring them to vacation Bible school, and they bring them to all the youth activities, and they send them off to the youth camp. And then 22, 23, 24 years later, that same woman's in that altar saying, God, what did I do wrong? God, what did I do wrong? I tried to do everything the way you told me to do it. And she prayed that prayer all night, and God didn't answer. She prays that prayer every morning, God doesn't answer. She prays that prayer every time she's cooking at the stove, and God doesn't answer. You know what God does? He sends some lady up, kneel down beside her, just put her arm around her. She's got no answer. She's got no solution. They'll just cry together. And Lord, just pick that sister up and help her to go on. You know what that is? It's fellowship. It's fellowship. It's more than shaking hands. I'm not against that. It's more than saying how you doing. It's listening. It's more than hearing what they say. It's getting your heart wrapped up in that thing. My mother, praise God, she's in as good a health as you could be. It'll be 94 by the end of summer. I'll call her. She said, I slept in this morning. I feel guilty, but I started reading this book last night. And I didn't finish it till 3 in the morning. So, man, anybody read a book at 93 years old? I admire that, but I mean, she's doing great. She'll tell me she can't drive anymore, and I'll call her, say, how you doing, Mom? She said, I'm in jail, stuck here in this house, can't go anywhere, can't do anything. You know what it means to somebody like that? Just have you stop by with your kids for an hour. You know what it means for somebody like that? Just have you call and say you want to go to lunch. What are you supposed to say to your I don't want to say elderly because I'm my foot's in that door. I'm not John Spade elderly, but Methuselah said he's how old? But you know something? You're going to have lunch. Why not have it with her? You made too much. Why not take her some? You understand? It's fellowship. Everything's not preaching. Well, we love preaching. Everything's not Bible study. We love Bible study. Everything's not evangelism. We're trying to get you to love evangelism. Fellowship is, Timothy, go see if they're okay. Timothy, go see if the devil's talked them into quitting. Timothy, go see if they're being tempted to quit. You men, I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor, he studies, I started to say all week, he studies 30 minutes Saturday night on his knees. Dear God, please give me a sermon. No, he studies that Bible and he prays and he comes in, he preaches Sunday morning, nothing happens, and if your church is like our church, 5 minutes before he gets up to preach, somebody comes up and tries to get him involved in some controversy that he can't resolve or can't settle. And they could have called him Saturday afternoon, but that wouldn't have sufficiently disrupted things. And so he preaches and then comes back Sunday night and looks out at all the people didn't come back and all the empty seats and he preaches, and then as soon as church is over there, I need to talk to you in the office, and somebody's, you know, got a row going, a squabble going. I'm gonna tell you something. Just about every Monday morning, he hadn't told me this, but he's a pastor. Just about every Monday morning, the devil has breakfast with him and says, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just quit? And if fellowship is limited to the handshake time at church, your pastor doesn't get the help he needs. He needs one of you who actually enjoyed the sermon to tell him so. Because the person that didn't's already told him. He needs one of you that appreciates what happened at church yesterday to call him and say, man, that was a great day at church yesterday. I sure appreciate that. Because the person who didn't like it has already sent him an email or a text message, we're not coming back. And what happens is the people who don't like it are always vocal. And the people who do like it don't say anything. And Satan gets an advantage over your Sunday school teacher and over your song leader and over your musicians and over your nursery workers and over your bus drivers, because the only time anybody says something is when they're complaining or criticizing. Yep. Fellowship is about just, Timothy, go tell them I appreciate what they're doing. Timothy, go tell them, thank them. Thank them for going on for Jesus. Thank them for serving the Lord. That's fellowship. Look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God. They were thankful and they had joy that they weren't the only saved person in town. You've had some missionaries go out from this church. And you know what slams those missionaries and their children in the face when they get to that foreign mission field? They're the only ones. They're the only ones. They can't go to another meeting. There is no other meeting to go to. They can't fellowship with other churches. There are no other churches. They can't fellowship with the people in their church. They don't have a church. And I know there should be more people here tonight than what they are. But aren't you glad you're not in a storefront somewhere with two people? Sure. Aren't you glad it wasn't four people last week and now it's two because two left and they're trying to get these two to leave and it'd be back to just you and your wife and kids again? Aren't you glad you're not saved tonight listening in secret over the radio or the internet trying to hear a little bit of Bible or a little sermon coming in from a free country because in yours you're not allowed to be a Christian? Aren't you glad tonight you're not a saved man or a saved woman in a slave labor camp or a concentration camp somewhere? Christians living like that all over the world tonight. There are saved people tonight who are slaves. There are saved people tonight who are being beaten for their faith. There are saved people tonight being starved to death. Secret underground churches, 2 and 3 people, 4 and 5 people, hoping nobody catches them, nobody finds them out. Boy, you ought to pull in that parking lot, look around, say, thank you, Jesus Christ. You ought to walk in those doors and see all those people standing there in that lobby and say, thank you, Lord, I am not the only one. It's a blessing. That song leader says, let's turn to number such and such and sing. Aren't you glad it's not a solo? Aren't you glad there's people beside you and in front of you and behind you? And a whole bunch of them you believe like this. Praise the Lord. We ought to get back to enjoying Christian fellowship. You know what happens? It don't hurt to be honest. I'll be honest with you. Here's what happens. You pray for God to send people in the church, and He does. And you pray for God to have them join and be part of things, and they do. And you get to know them, and you make friends with them, and you have dinner with them, and you exchange, you know, laughs with each other, and then their nose gets out of joint, and they leave. And something inside you looks at the person who hasn't done that. And looks at the person who isn't going to do that. And looks at the person who's there and faithful and loves you. And something in your heart says, I'm not getting close to anybody. I'm not making friends with anybody. Because they'll just hurt me. And you know what happens? You lose the joy of Christian fellowship over what somebody else did. Right. And you lose the blessing of fellowship and with these people and these people and these people because somebody that's not even here has taken your heart and your spirit out of this. But your body's still here, but you're not here. You still love this place and enjoy this place and be thankful to God every time you get to come through the doors. But now it's a scary place. It's an uncertain place. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I've had more Christians lie about me than you've had lie about you. I've had more people walk away from me than walked away from you. I got marks on my back, marks on my arms. I've been beaten in the head. I'm still enjoying this thing. I'm still thankful for other Christians. Yes, sir. And he said, Timothy, make sure they're still enjoying Christian fellowship. Make sure they're still thankful for Christian fellowship. Make sure they haven't become afraid of Christian fellowship. He said, well, you know, those Christians, they hurt me. Anybody you were around, as much as you're around the people you go to church with, is going to hurt you. Come on, we're with each other 3 times a week, 4 times a week, year after year after year after year, and we're all sinners and we're all jerks. We just hide it good when we're at church. But sooner or later, somebody, the pastor said in a prayer meeting, said, there's a lady here, she said, I really like that visiting preacher, that's because I'm visiting. About 6 months steady diet of me, you'd think the same thing of me you do everybody else. Come on. If you attended AA 3 times a week for 6 months, somebody there would offend you. You join a bowling league, somebody there is going to offend you. People offend other people. You know what makes Christian fellowship so wonderful? We can be thankful. We can be joyful that we have one another. Well, I'll show you. Look at verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In your faith. In your that's the beautician. In your faith. Now here, this, brother, if you could get this, sister, if you could get this, if I could get this, this would really help us. You know what he said in verse 9? I'm thankful to God for you. You know what he said in verse 10? I enjoy you. In verse 9, I enjoy you. In verse 10, he said, I pray for you every night. I pray for you every day. And then said, and there's a lot lacking in your faith. Now, brother, sister, let me help you. The day you stop enjoying and thanking God for the things that are right about this pastor and his family, and start zeroing in on the things that are not right about this pastor and his family, he will not change, but you will. Pastor, the minute you start viewing that family, and all you can think about is their faults and their failures and what they're not doing, instead of thanking God and enjoying in the Lord that they're saved and they're here and they might one day grow, it's not going to change them. It's going to change you. Paul wrote, Holy Spirit had Paul write, he said, I know your faith is lacking and 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 your faith is lacking. But why would I hold that against you? I'll just pray for you. And I'll thank God for you. And I'll enjoy you. And try to help you if I can. Isn't that an amazing thing? Amen. You know, these boys and girls come in on these bus routes. And they come walking in. Their clothes aren't right. And their hair's not right. And their hygiene is not right. And their manners aren't right. Their language isn't right. But you know what we say? Oh, where they come from. They just need love. They just need patience. They just need our help. But then people drive up in their $30,000 cars, live in $150,000 houses, and walk in their nice shoes and their nice clothes and act just like those bus kids. And we say, I can't believe he acts like that. I can't believe she acts like that. You know what we all do? We all look at each other like a bus kid. Because, you know, in the eyes of God, there's probably none of us look just right, act just right, dress just right, smell just right, talk just right. Isn't that so? If we stood up tonight and confessed, not our faults, because that's in the Bible. If we stood up tonight and confessed our sins one to another, if we started on this side, the middle section and this section would never get a chance to confess their sins. We would be out the door. I don't want anything to do with people do that. I don't want anything to do with people think like that. If we knew each other like God knows us, we couldn't handle it. So the fact that you found out something about somebody or somebody did something, you know what right fellowship is? You know what proper fellowship is? I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to enjoy you. God help us. You start zeroing in on what people are doing wrong, they're not going to change. It's going to change you. You're going to get all puffed up or you're going to get all bitter, but one way or another, you're going to end up either sitting here out of fellowship or not coming here out of fellowship. Verse 12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now, I had to go back and read this several times because I thought, well, I read in chapter 1 that they do love each other. And I read in chapter 2 that they do love each other. And then I went back and read that verse again. It says, make you increase and abound in love one toward another. Here's what he said, husband. I don't want to know if you love your wife. I want to know if you love her more than you did a year ago. Wife, I don't want you to tell me you love your husband. I want to know if you love him more than you did this time last year. I don't want to know if you love your children or love your parents, because you're going to tell me you do. Do you love them more than you did? Now, here's what happens. I come here last year and came here the year before and came here. But this time, I was out there in that lobby and you didn't know I was there. And I heard you say something about me. I can't believe you said that about me. And now I don't want to ever see you again. Well, I thought you loved me. Well, I did. Then I heard you say that. You know what he said? I'm praying that you could love that person, and then you have that little run-in, and when it's over, you love them more than you did before. I want you to increase in love. I want you to abound in love. See, I don't need a lot of love to love you if I don't know all your faults and failures and if you haven't hurt me. But if I found out some things about you and you've hurt me and you've offended my wife or you've insulted my children, I need more love now than I had before. I got to have enough love to cover a multitude of sins. And the Holy Spirit has it. If I'm going to be in proper fellowship, I need to let the Holy Spirit give me not just enough love, but abundance of love. Not a level of love that I started with the first day I came to church, but more love and more love and more love and more love, because it's going to take more to get along with you. And you're going to need more love to get along with me. See what he says? You know why we drop out? You know why people quit? Maybe they don't even go backwards. Maybe they just stay put. You know, the amount of faith you need before the troubles and the trials is not as great as the amount of faith you need when the troubles and trials come. The amount of joy you need before your heart gets broken is not as much as you're going to need after your heart gets broken. The amount of love that you need before people rub you the wrong way is not as much as the amount of love you're going to need after they love you the wrong way. I have to grow in grace and grow in knowledge and grow in charity and increase in the fruits of the Spirit, because Christian fellowship is only going to get easier if I grow. Because the longer we're together, the more challenges there are going to be to our fellowship. Amen. Well, that guy, I found out that guy was talking behind my back. And some people come to me, and I'm not trying to discourage anybody from doing it, but they come and say, "Oh, preacher, I'm unhappy. Why? Well, I found out so-and-so was talking about me behind my back." And I say, okay, before we go any farther, honestly before God, do you ever talk about people behind their back? Everybody does. That guy that invented Facebook, he's a billionaire. Because people like to brag on themselves and they like to talk about people behind their back. I have a comment. I think your sermon was lousy. There. Great. Who are you? Anonymous 4732. It's in us. You know what you'll do after church tonight? You'll talk about me. Or what somebody wore. Or what somebody did. Or somebody didn't talk to you. Come on, people. That's what people do. They talk about other people. When you find out somebody was talking about you, it shouldn't be some earth-shattering revelation. Why don't they say that about me? Well, you ought to hear the rest of it. If you only knew. All right. Now look at verse 8 and verse 13. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. Verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. There are seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 that got letters from the Lord. And he told every one of them what they needed to do to keep their light from going out. And all their lights went out. In your Bible, you have a letter, two letters to the church at Corinth, which no longer exists. Ephesus, Philippians, Colossians, those churches no longer exist. Until 5 years ago, the church at Thessalonica no longer existed. What do you think happened? What do you think happened to that independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James only Baptist church in our town that closed its doors this spring? What do you think happened to all these buildings you see as you drive through central North Carolina that used to be thriving churches with hundreds of people in them, and now there's 10, 15 people there and they can't even pay the light bill? What do you think happened? Whoever used to sit there quit. Whoever used to sit there quit. Whoever used to sit there quit. Whoever used to sing in that spot quit. Whoever used to play on that instrument quit. The devil didn't come in and burn the thing down. The communists didn't come in and kill everybody. One by one, people who still believed the right things, people who still had the right profession of faith, said, I don't want to fellowship with those people. Somebody there hurt my feelings, and I'm not going to fix it. Somebody there offended me, and I'm not going to forgive them. Somebody there did something I didn't think they would do, and I'm hurt, and I'm just going to sit here and be hurt till I die. You know what verse 8 and verse 13 said? If you guys quit, this whole thing fails. If you let your trouble, your tribulation, your physical affliction, your disappointment, your heartache, if you let that knock you out, pretty soon there'll be no church left and everything we've done will be in vain. This was an amazing building. This incredible facility. I am so jealous of this place you got out here, your parking lot, your grounds. It's tremendous. God's people poured millions and millions and millions of dollars into this place. And it doesn't need to be sold one day and turned into a complex of doctor's offices because so many people quit that the whole thing went down the drain. We have several missionary families out of our church almost every month. Here comes a letter. We're sorry. Our attendance is down so much. We no longer have any money for our missionaries. You know how that happened? One person who used to give quit. Another person who used to give quit. Another person who used to give quit. And now the whole missionary program of that church was in vain. It's done. It's finished. Our fellowship ensures that our children and our grandchildren will have a Christ-honoring, Bible-believing church to attend. And the more grandmothers and grandfathers drop out, the more grandchildren say, why should I go to church? The more moms and dads turn against preachers and turn against each other, the more children say, why should I participate in that? You know how many ministers' children tell me, I go visit them because their parents asked me to, and I knew them growing up, and I go see them and said, look, Brother James, I believe, I still believe, I love the Lord. Do not ask me to go to church. I don't want to be around those people. Well, you know something? Whatever those people did, they shouldn't have done. But those people didn't knock you out of church. The devil knocked you out of church. He got advantage of you when you were hurt, and he won, and you lose, and the whole church loses. Right fellowship is not just shaking hands. It's bearing each other's burdens. Right fellowship isn't just sitting in the same building. It's looking over and saying, how can I help him? How can I help her? I wonder where she's been. I wonder if he's okay. And right fellowship is thanking God and enjoying the privilege of having brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. We lose sight of that. We'll take our King James Bible and our right doctrinal statement and go home and stay home and be one more bitter person doing nothing for God that is helping turn this country over to the devil. Right. If I said tonight, who's been hurt in church, we'd all raise our hand. Who's been offended at some time or another, we'd all raise our hand. Who's had God do something in their life they never thought God would let happen in their life, we would all raise our hands. You know what the Holy Spirit said? I told you that was going to happen. Isn't Jesus worth serving with that burden? Isn't Jesus worth serving with that trouble? Isn't Jesus worth serving with that disappointment? Then let's keep serving Jesus. So here's the final statement of the pastor's coming tonight. Let's don't just go to church together. Let's fellowship one with another. Amen. Father, I pray that you'd help each and every member of this church to realize how important they are to the future of this church. I pray, God, that you'd help us to realize how important we all are to one another and take this matter to heart and profit from it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
Let's stand together this evening.